was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrect Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, joined with Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and we are trying to get Lori on the line as well. She has another update for us on Tom Lacovara, whom was taken December the 6th of 2016. And how are you doing this evening, Eric?
Sorry, I just had to take myself off mute. Doing well, Lori. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. We're going to cover some exciting information tonight, some truth out there about the California exit tonight. But first, we do want to touch base with Lori and information.
Lori, this is Eric. I'm not sure if the audience heard the same thing I did, but it sounds like you're breaking up pretty bad. Can you respond to that? All right. Am I still on the air, Mike?
Information. Are you there, Lori? Okay, so while we're trying to iron out the technical difficulties, what we're going to do, Eric, don't you find certain things very interesting that are going on these days?
Oh, yeah, like how about today where I was just taking it in the lovely dictator in Washington, D.C. just seized over 1 million acres of land in Nevada and Utah. In Utah, the entire state legislature is against it. Both of the Congress creeps who represent Utah, people of Utah in the federal government, in the Congress, in the House and the Senate, they were against it. The governor of the state was against it. And here comes the dictator who's, by the way, let's not focus too much on Obama because he's Obushma. Have we all forgotten about Bush, Cheney? There's been a convenient memory loss, and this is the Trump team is guilty of this as well. Did we all forget about Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Kissinger, and Rockefeller? We're all obsessing with Soros, Clinton, Wiener, Podesta, etc. What about Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rockefeller, and Kissinger? What about all the ones who set up the 9/11 tyranny and the Gestapo police state and hired Yevgeny Primakov from the KGB to set up our DHS? So it could be literally, when I say the Department of Homeland Gestapo, that's not an exaggeration. That's what it's doing. It has nothing to do with national security. Anyway, the dictator-in-chief today, who is nothing more than a front man for the Vatican, and look at the statement he made. Read it very carefully, people. The statement that the dictator-in-chief made today, apparently he doesn't know he has no jurisdiction outside his 10-mile toilet of Washington, D.C. made this statement, and read it. It said, he said, a wide variety of stakeholders agree that this land should be taken for public use, eminent domain, and it's never for public use. When they say public use, they mean private use in public drag. Now, who is the, quote, wide variety of stakeholders that Obushma, Barry Sotero, masquerading as Barack Obama, masquerading as a president, who is he talking about when he says, quote, a wide variety of stakeholders? Really? Let's open that up for a couple of minutes. Want to know who the stakeholder is in almost all of the federal land trusts? And all this federal land is being placed in a trust that's managed by the Vatican Bank and the London bankers, which trickles down through Wall Street, and that's where we see our corporate America. So there it is, Lori. I'm
amazingly
really
enough,
today.
Amazingly enough, believe it or not, with what we have planned to cover, it actually not only exposes just what you just brought up, but it also exposes, we're going to be exposing it. I wasn't aware of what you just said, okay? But it exposes, and I'm going to make it to where it makes sense. But first, we do now have Lori on the line. We do want to get the update with Tom. And she has some very interesting information, everybody. Please make sure you have your pens and pencils ready. I am going to give out phone numbers one more time and an address where you can write to Tom as well. However, surprisingly, Eric, with what we're going to cover tonight, going all the way back into the history and the different things, it's actually going to tie into with exactly what you're talking about there in just a moment. So, Lori, are you back on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
And oh, I am so glad you're here. Everyone, this is Lori, otherwise known as Texas 101. I think most of you already know her, just to the new listeners. This is Tom Lacavera's lady, and she is keeping us updated so well on everything that's going on. What's going on that's new that you just told me a few minutes ago?
I've been trying to see when they're going to book, and when they're going to have charges for Thomas and when he's going to go see the judge. And I went to the website C as in cat, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, .us. And on that site, you can look up Thomas Lacavera. And I looked up under currently in the prison. It didn't show he was there. So then I looked at it for release within the last 7 days, and he popped up. So they're obviously playing a game of, you know, you have the 72 hours to hold him before they see a judge. Obviously, by paperwork, they've released him. He's still in jail, but on their paperwork and on their computer system, he's been released.
Right. So understand this. That is a way, this is for the listeners that I'm talking to, obviously not you, Lori.
I know.
But this is a way that they hide people. Number one, we are under no illusion that they are not listening to this broadcast. So they know publicly, the people know that Tom is there. And so in order, first of all, you switch that, you make it look like he is released, the word gets around, people, the pressure stops coming in, or at least that's the theory. So...
Oh no! I can assure you. I can assure you, it's going to get way worse first thing in the morning from this freedom screamer. That was very interesting. I've been waiting for something like that. Now they just dug their own grave. They're screwed on their own statutes, rules, and regulations. Now, what are they doing? Holding him, posting paperwork that he's released. That means that's a slam dunk for him. I tell you, first thing
if
in the morning,
released,
everybody
they
needs to
produce
call.
The body.
Yeah, we need
somebody.
To do a mass phone call. I was somebody waiting for Monday morning because a phone blitz may be more effective on Monday when people are back to work than the week between the two holidays when everybody's off, and good luck getting a hold of the Archbishop during, you know, Christmas week or New Year's week. So I was thinking Monday, but tomorrow we need to come down heavy on the jailer and the vicar. Call the Archbishop. We got his name last night. It's Mr. Sample. And he can be reached at that same 503. We're going to give the numbers out in a few minutes, but everybody needs to call leave a message on the Archbishop's mail, because he's probably not going to be there taking his calls the Friday before New Year's weekend. That's why sometimes you have to plan these phone calls, you know. But a steady stream tomorrow needs to be heavy on Tom's behalf.
I mean, it needs to be really heavy, everybody. Make it to where they are having problems answering phone lines. The more calls, it will jam it up.
Yeah, let me just jump on that for a second. And the reason I'm going to say this is so people know that their voice does matter, it does make a difference, and it does have a very powerful effect, including the physical effect of sometimes melting down their switchboards. We had a case in South Dakota where we were doing in the middle of doing a phone blitz for somebody who was in court along with, you know, 50 or 60 other defendants waiting a hearing on their incident per court. And a young man was brought in handcuffs, obviously had come right from the jail because the sheriffs brought him in. He was from out of the country, and he didn't speak English. I believe he was from one of the African nations. And the judge went to pick up the phone to call for an interpreter, and he couldn't get a line out of the courthouse. And guess what? He had to let the guy go. This guy had never heard of the court of observers. He had never heard of a phone blitz. He didn't know about the people. He had no idea what was going on. So how about, you want to talk about collateral damage, how about collateral benefit? We got somebody off who we didn't even intend to. So can you, your voice does have a powerful effect. Everybody's got to flood the vicar's office, which is in this pretty much the same number as the archbishop. They're going to have different extensions and different secretaries most likely. Try to find out which immediate church the vicar general has as his own personal parish, because they almost always have their own building, their own church somewhere in the diocese. And you can get a hold of them there by getting the direct number for the church to the rectory or to the residence hall or whatever over there. That's another good way to get the vicar if you can't get him at the main number that we're giving. You have to look up that one a little deeper, but we'll get you the numbers as best we can. Lori, if you could post that, any information you have that shows that their own computer system and their own paperwork is claiming he's released and a free man and ready to go, that would be really helpful, because
I need help in finding someone who can go on this mcso.us, put in the name Thomas Lacovara, put in currently incarcerated. I can't remember what the wording is because I'm not going to go backwards right now. Hold on, Eric.
Yep.
Show that it's not on there. Then they need to go back and show 7 days having been released within the last 7 days, so that we have a video capture of these screenshots showing this on their own records. I need somebody to make a video of that.
I want you to say it slower. Is it M as in Michael?
M as in Michael, C as in cat, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, dot, U as in umbrella, S as in Sam.
Okay.
When you go on there, that's the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, .us, and what I need is for you to put in Thomas Lacovara, put in currently incarcerated, or whatever it says currently, it pops up automatically. It will show he's not in there. Then go and click on that. There's a little arrow on that same field. Put release within the 7 days, and he pops up. If you go by his name, it'll go to a black screen. Go by his name. There's an arrow. Click on the arrow, and it will slide over. And I'm doing this on a mobile phone. It will slide over to show his records not being charged, not having a court date, but it will be under him being released within the last 7 days. And I have
I'll
not
tell you
heard
this. Okay, I'll tell you this right now. If this is all, you know, accurate, and it's not just something they're putting out there to get us screwed up, but if this is, then this is a huge victory for everybody out there who called, everybody out there who supported Tom, because usually they don't kind of make them scoot him out the door this quick. If that's what he's doing, and they're showing that he's released, and they're probably going to let him out, I would think within the next couple of days, they better wait till they get the habeas corpus that we're going to do. They're going to suffer a severe penalty, financial penalty, for continuing to hold him. So I will try to get a habeas corpus posted. I'm not sure where the best place. Lori Anderson's Google Plus account has some other documents that are in a PDF. Maybe we'll just get it there. We'll get it up on resurrecttherepublic.com. We'll try to get it up on the courtroom observation website. I think it's courtroomobservation.wordpress.com. We'll post it wherever we can, and we'll blast it out to as many people as possible. We'll try to put a habeas corpus in a PDF that people can download, and send one in on Tom's behalf. And it's going to have penalty in it for them continuing to hold him, because how convenient, they just scoop him up, sit on him so he doesn't get a chance to cover the most important trial, one of the top three or four or five most important trials of this decade. These are epic stands of patriots against tyrants. And
yes.
So it's looking good for Tom if this is all confirmed and this is what they're doing. I don't think they want to have anything to do with continuing to prosecute him.
I do want to jump in on that, though, because I've dealt with other cases to where they would say somebody was released, okay? And what they had done was they were using that because the original indictment was an unlawful indictment. So they went back and got a different indictment. The person was not released. They were still in holding. They used the new indictment and then pulled a new case number, and then put that they, you know, were entered back into the system. So you have to watch. They're tricky with that too. I've seen them do it.
Yes, ma'am.
So the thing is, for the audience, that you need to know, number one, if you go there and it says that Tom is not there, he is still currently there. We need to find out why he is listed as been released and he has not been released. The name of the sheriff is Sheriff Michael Reese. His number is 503-988-3714. I'm going to repeat that again. 503-988-3714. The
Hey, Lori.
Detention center where he's at is 503-988-3051. The judicial vicar, which is Pat Brennan, is 503-234-5334. The Archdiocese of Portland, Alexander King Sample, which got a very high recommendation yesterday, his number is 503-234-5334. And the fax number for the Archdiocese of Portland, Alexander Sample, is 503-234-2545. We need to have these phones ringing off the hook.
Yep. The Archbishop. Yep. Our Sample is the Archbishop of the Diocese of Portland. And one other thing I think we need to spell out for the listeners, we need to spell Multnomah County, because if they're going to go to M as in Michael, C as in Charlie, S as in Sam, O as in Over, MCSO.U.US, Multnomah County. We need to spell Multnomah County. That's a little bit of a tongue
twister. Okay, Multnomah County is spelled MULTNOMAH, and then county. And the address, if you want to mail Tom a letter, you would write Thomas Robert Lacavera. Number, his ID number is 801-727, and the mailing address is 1120 Southwest 3rd Street, Portland, Oregon, 97204. Is there anything else you wanted to add with that, Lori?
I looked on this website yesterday, and it said he'd been booked and he was in jail. So I know for a fact that they've changed something on the system.
You know, it makes you wonder if maybe it's because they're getting quite a lot of calls because of radio show last night. So it may be just their way of trying to hide him via the computer system, because they don't want all these phone calls. So whoever called, I want to thank you very much. We have to keep the pressure on. We cannot allow them, even in the computer system, to make him disappear in the computer system as if he is not there. That is one of the imperative reasons why we have to, even if it's donating a dollar, we have to be able to keep in contact with Tom so that we have that communication, know he's safe. As far as we know, we still do not, he's not, is he, to your knowledge, have you heard from him, or is he still not receiving his medicine?
He's still not receiving his medicine. The last I heard from him was yesterday. And I'm going to have to hold off on putting more money on until probably next week. So I've got enough money for another phone call or two, but that's about it.
Okay, so everybody, if you want to donate, even if it's a dollar, you know, when 30 people donate a dollar, that's $30. It adds up, and every little bit helps, and it counts, and it means something. Not everybody, we understand that not everybody can afford to donate something large. If you can donate something larger, that's great. But even if you can donate just a dollar, you can go to PayPal. You can send it to TomLacabert@gmail.com, or you can go to ResurrectTheRepublic.com, and you can click on the PayPal button for the donate button. And we thank everyone who has been helpful in donating so far.
Phone calls and prayers as well.
Absolutely. And prayer for sure is the number one issue on that, because God can do things that man just absolutely cannot. And we all know that.
Yep. And call the men who claim to be of God. Call the archbishop. I'm telling you, they're going to regret the day they incarcerated Tom if we keep exposing the vicars and the archbishops for being the true power behind our courts and our legislatures. This global agenda you're seeing, folks, didn't come from a bunch of liberal progressives. Are you kidding me? They can't wipe their own nose when it drips. This all comes from the people over in Europe who own the people in America. And the people in America have been bought and sold. All our land's been put in basic trust since the emergency of 33, if not before. And it's been downhill from there, including today when we just lost over 1 million acres of land in Nevada and Utah. So my sympathies go out with them as well. This is the crux of the matter behind all these land standoffs is, does the federal government have jurisdiction under this Antiquities Act and all these other bizarre, obscure things that were set up to protect, a burial site or some kind of historic monument, and now they're just using that to go seize millions of acres. And when Obama said today that we have a wide variety of stakeholders who are interested in this land being seized for public domain.
That's the United Nations.
Yeah, imagine who the stakeholder, and they're just a bunch of front men and foot lackeys. They don't have money. They don't have power. Those people are all hired help, including the chief person at the UN. They're just replaceable CEOs. Who owns the big blocks of stock? Who owns the stakeholders? Who are the shareholders? These are the people, the invisible names that want to stay anonymous. Let's make it very difficult for them to remain anonymous. Let's look at it. It's the Vatican Bank. It's the London banking establishment, about 15 or 20 families that emanate from the royalty money. And they just buy off everybody they can to do their bidding. And, boy, do they have a lot of useful idiots in this nation doing their bidding. So, look at how many people are incarcerated. Those people weren't incarcerated by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They were incarcerated by hitmen, hit squads, hitmen and hit women hired by the banking establishment, the Church of England, the Church of Rome. This is all a Roman thing. And don't forget, in Roman history, in 212 A.D., all free men of the Empire of Rome became citizens. What's with that? Free men becoming citizens, just like we free men became citizens with that scam called the 14th Amendment in 1871. Was it 1871?
Well, we're gonna do some historical stuff, because we're going to talk about the Cal Exit and just how relevant it is to the bigger picture. But I want to cover Tom's stuff first. So is there anything else we need to get out, Lori, about Tom?
I think that's it, because I know you guys have some people that have been waiting from last night that need to get their information out. And that's what we need to do, keep getting the information out and keep going forward. So let's go.
Right. All right. Well, we love you, Lori. When you talk to Tom, tell him that we love him, and we will keep working to expose the corruption. And I think, hold on for just one moment, Lori, because we have a caller that I believe may want to ask you a question. Roger, how are you doing this evening?
Well, yes, I'm so glad to hear you talking like you're talking. I don't know if you listeners know, I'm a former prosecutor. 40 years ago, I was the government. I ran the Consumer Fraud Department in the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. And I got involved some 28 years ago trying to recover a huge multimillion-dollar estate, and they started attacking me. I've been arrested 23 times in the last 28 years, many times violently, in front of large groups of supporters, being choked to the ground in the courtroom that I've been subpoenaed into and ordered to stay out of. And my mother was roughed up coming to my assistance, putting the boots to the guards that were choking me down to keep me from speaking. I said, you know, I was 1998, I was the Oregon Reform Party candidate for governor, going after this corruption that's going on in the system. Years ago, I had Arno Denneke, the former chief judge of the Oregon Supreme Court, up to my place. I thought my problems were over. He said he was too old to get involved. Other judges that I knew said, oh, you're going to fight him, huh, Roger? This ought to be interesting. And it's been such a shock to me to see how corrupt it's become. I was so fortunate when I went through law school 50 years ago. I had as instructors Harlow Lennon, Thomas Tung, George Van Humisen, Robert Jones, all then or later judges on the Oregon Circuit Court, Supreme Court, as instructors. And all they talked was ethic, ethic, ethic. And what, there's been a complete subversion of that when the bar took over, created its own insurance company. That's when judges told me they saw it coming in the early 70s. When they had private insurance carriers, the private carrier would pay off about 50% of the premium in claims. When the bar created its own insurance company, they pay off about 3 or 4% of the premium. And so all these, the liability of one attorney is the liability of all of them. And if it's a relatively small amount and you get a good attorney, you can recover. But if it's a multi-million dollar claim, they will protect the crooks and attack the victims. That's the dynamic that is set up. And I said, people, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I was the government 40 years ago. One of the judges, John Whitmire, was my assistant. The judge used to come in and sit in my office because I ran the Consumer Fraud Department in the district attorney's office. And the key, what you have to do, you have to make the claim that you're making a matter of public record. You have to type it up in the right form and file it with the clerk. If it's not in the right form, the clerk won't file it. And that's where they strain at gnats and swallow camels. That's what they're doing. The slightest little defect in what you put in your pleading, if you're going after someone in the system, They will dismiss that on one pretense or another. So that's why whenever I go into court, you file the document. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me on this. You file the document, the complaint with the clerk, and then you move for summary judgment. That is a standard proceedings. And it comes now, it's a motion for summary judgment, and then you have a supporting affidavit. And that affidavit details all of their criminal behavior. And listen to me on this. They have to deny what's in that affidavit before they go to court, or it is deemed admitted what you put in that affidavit. So you put it into the affidavit, and then when you go to court, you go in with a crowd of people, not by yourself.
Hold him over, Lori.
If you would, Roger, just hold on one moment. We want to finish hearing everything that you have to say, but we have to go to a network break. Please hold on. We definitely want to hear what you have to say. And we will be right back with everybody right after a word from network sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Network, and we have an amazing caller on the line right now. He is discussing the situation with Tom and the courts. He used to be part of the courts and found the corruption that was going on and started standing up against that. Roger, thank you so much for holding. And would you please go back into, you need to file the complaint with the court, with the clerk. Yeah. And then you need to go ahead.
I said judges used to come in and sit in my office and ask my advice. I said, I'm an authority on the process. And in the process, if the government wants to take something from a citizen, what the Constitution demands is due process. That means right. Notice and an opportunity to dispute the facts on which the government is relying before an impartial judge.
to take whatever they want to take from you. Now, that's what I learned in law school. I had all of these judges as instructors. Ethic, ethic, ethic was all they preached. Until I got out trying to recover this $100 million estate, and then all of a sudden, all of the protection is around the thieves, and the victims are being attacked, repeatedly arrested for trying to speak in court under oath about their victimization. I said you cannot get anything worse than that. Rob, I've been at this almost 30 years. I used to office in the Georgia Pacific building right by Robert Pamplin, the board chairman. When I went in, he told me that was the reason that Georgia Pacific moved out of Oregon was because of the corruption in the court system. And I was stunned that they would that could be going on. We pay all of this money to all of these magistrates, they're all quasi-judicial administrative law judges. Since they adopted the Uniform Commercial Code, I've had judges that they saw it coming in the early 70s. When they adopted the Uniform Commercial Code, then all the cases, they became administrative. And so when
can you please say that one more time? Because I am not an attorney. I've never been an attorney, but I've done massive research, and I've told our listeners this over and over again. You have been in the system, and the reason I'm asking you to repeat that, because I say that over and over and over again, and people, when I tell them there is a difference between the law of land and there's a difference between admiralty law and administrative code, is not law. It is statute. It falls under color of law.
Yes, it's an administrative problem. And the way that they get jurisdiction over you, listen to me, is by you voluntarily appear in their courtrooms. When I go into a courtroom, I've done this in state and federal courts, with a big crowd of people, and before I go down to the courthouse, the federal court, I went in and I talked to the Marshal Service and said, Marshal, I'm going to be in court. I'm a former prosecutor. I'm going to be in court tomorrow putting something on the record. In the past, now I've been attacked for trying to speak. Do you have any problem with that? And now they don't. Now they understand that. what they were doing, they were trying to keep me, a former prosecutor, from speaking in court under oath on the record about the criminal conduct of bureaucrats and attorneys, all licensed or employed by the corporate state, stealing people's children, their property, and their freedom in these sham judicial proceedings. And that's what people don't get when they walk into that court. All these guards are around all puffed up. Take off your hat and do this. If I hear that word Constitution one more time, someone's going to jail. Unbelievable. I said, people, that is not how that system is supposed to be. I'm an authority. I said, we have rights. The citizens, we have rights. If you're on the public payroll, you have duties, sworn, paid duties. If you don't like and the duty is to see that when a citizen comes into that court, that they're given due process. They're given an opportunity to make their argument and to have remedy if their law is on their side. And I said, people, that's what I was taught in law school. But that because they corrupted the process, judges telling me they couldn't wait to get out of the system. Because they had corrupted the whole process. And that's what I've been fighting now for 28 years here in Oregon, and I'm now seeing a big change in the behavior of the government. Our new governor, Kate Brown, was my senator, and years ago I confronted her about the corruption, and she got all nervous and was shaking her hands, and, oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. I said, but you're my senator. She says, you can't. Prove that you live in my district, and now she's the governor of the state of Oregon. Earl
appointed,
Blumenauer,
by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, they made her the governor, but I said, people, we are the government. Listen, everyone that works for the government is a public employee, from the president on down. We have rights, they have duties, they have sworn duties. They must take an oath of office here in Oregon, the judges, and they must sign it as a contract, swearing that they will observe the rights of the citizens that appear before them. That's what we pay them to do, to maintain a civil society. We do not have a civil society here in Oregon, we have a police state. And that's right. And trying to wake people up to that reality. But for my mother, when they've attacked me violently in court in front of large groups of people, my mother, 85 years old, 4'9", when they putting the boots, kicking the guards that are on top of me. In another incident, when the guards stormed into the courtroom, I said, "Mother," and she shot out of the jury box where she was sitting, up to the judge, jamming her finger at his face. She says, "What's the meaning of this?" And the judge threw up his hands like a heat shield from my mother's wrath in his courtroom. On another occasion, she chased the judge when the judge said he's going to let me speak, and then he ran out of the courtroom. Mother chased the judge out of the courthouse, and she came back. She was panting. I said, "Did you catch him, Mother?" "No, he got away." So it's that, people. I said, an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. When you go into that courtroom, that courthouse belongs to the people. Everyone that's working down there on the public payroll is a public employee. We have rights. They have duties. We have a right, if you're injured, to make a public record of your injury. So it's a legal fact. And it's that.
Now, I have a question for you, because you used to be a prosecutor. And the reason I'm asking you this, I already know the answer to this, but I want the listeners to understand something. I have never met you. Is that correct, Roger?
Right.
Okay.
But you can now, Roger, on the Internet. I'm on the Internet now.
I want the listeners to know this is not set up. I've never met you. I've never talked to you. And the reason I'm saying that is for a reason, is because we go in detail all the time about a lot of different things. So as a prosecutor, can you confirm, because we tell the people this all the time, one of the first things you need to do when you are faced with these fictitious things, you need to look for the oath and bond of the judge. If they do not have a valid oath and bond, what happens? If they haven't filed it the way they're supposed to, what happens?
Nothing happens until you file an action, until your complaint against them is a matter of public records. If the judge does not have the proper verification, you file have him excluded from hearing the case, a motion to dismiss him as the judge. You want a judge that has an oath of office that requires him to respect your constitutional rights. That is the key. People don't get that, because it's been so long since we've had constitutional courts. They've all become administrative courts since the federal government went into bankruptcy in 1933, I believe. All the states had to sign on to that bankruptcy. And so, and then signing on, all the judges then became administrative judges. And that's why the judges that I knew that were constitutional judges couldn't wait to get out of the system, telling me that.
Right. Even in their statutes, they say if it's not filed within that clerk, and different states vary, of course, but even in their own statutes, they say if it's not filed in the clerk of courts in the area in where they are sitting as judge, they vacate their seat. It's considered vacant.
Well, I said, people, I'm an authority on what the law is and how it's supposed to be operated. And we are the government. Those public employees, they have oaths of office swearing that they will respect your rights when you appear in their court. But, and this is the biggie, it's getting the people to understand who you are, that you have rights, that you have a right to appear in a constitutional court. And if you don't say what I just told you to say, telling the judge that when you appear that you're there by special appearance, you're giving him jurisdiction. So you can say all of these things that you're saying now, but if you make a general appearance in that administrative courtroom, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. And what he wants to do is he wants to keep his job. And if he doesn't go along with the good old boys, they'll get rid of him. They'll run him out of office. That's the reality of what's going on here in Oregon. And it's shocking to me. I've gone all over the state. I've been attacked not only in the courthouses, in many of the courthouses, for trying to speak in the courtroom like I have a right to do, but in the sheriff's offices. going down to the sheriff's offices and telling them, Sheriff, I'm being attacked. You get out of here. I'm warning you. And attacking me in the sheriff's office over in Deschutes County, in Marion County, in Multnomah, and Clackamas County, for trying to put something on the record. Unbelievable. And but for my mother and a few others standing with me, I said, I'd have been gone a long time ago. There's been a lot of them done in when they take on that system. So it's everyone's responsibility. Father said to me, he said, my father retires the deputy chief of the Portland Fire Department. During World War II, he was the civil defense director for Southeast Portland, a very prominent person. But and so I was very fortunate to be raised in that kind of a culture. But with my education background, I was in General William Westmoreland's Honor Guard Company as a paratrooper. In the 101st Airborne, I took an oath as a member of that to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's no greater domestic enemy than a corrupt judicial system. They're the worst kind. I mean, you can't get anything worse because they want you to, when you walk in, the guards will tell you, take off your hat, do this, do that. I've heard the judges say, if I hear that word constitution one more time, someone's going to jail. Outrageous. Outrageous. Yeah,
they want us to be,
and then they want
they
you
want
to call them
to
your
be.
Honor. I said I called them the most despicable for doing that, what they're doing. So it's getting the people.
Conscripts. They want us to be conscripts in their military is basically how we're treated. A couple of quick questions, if you don't mind, Lori, I have for Roger. Now,
go ahead.
when you say you want to initiate your response by saying I'm here by special appearance, in other words, withholding jurisdiction over you, is that for initiating an action or is that for responding to a charge that you'd have to appear in court for, or both?
Anytime you appear in that courtroom, you appear either by general appearance or by special appearance. If you appear by general appearance, you're giving that judge jurisdiction over you and your case. If you appear by special appearance, you're not giving him jurisdiction over you or your case. You're just coming in to put something on the record. Now, if you have already appeared in a case by general appearance, you cannot come back in that same case and then later appear by special appearance. You have to file a new action. So go ahead.
Yep. Gotcha. I just had a couple more quick questions for you. When you were talking about filing a motion to dismiss a summary judgment, is that a Federal Rules of Procedure 12B type of thing, or is there something else?
Well, there's Federal Rules of Civil Procedure and there's State Rules of Civil Procedure. So they're two separate court systems, and they have different rules. But the rules, just go down to the Multnomah County Library and say that you want to copy the local rules. And they have them, and you can read them. It's not rocket science. What I'm telling you should be taught in high school. Everyone should, every citizen in a free society, needs to know what their rights are. And to see that those rights are observed not only for themselves, but for their neighbors and their community.
Right.
I said,
right.
That's the duty of every citizen in a free society, is to pass on to their posterity a clean environment, clean constitutional government, and no debt. If you pass on a $20 trillion debt, that's $50,000 for every man, woman, and child. I said, people, as a historian, I said, Andrew Jackson, I said, you know what the debt was when he left the White House? It was zero, because he ran roughshod over all these bureaucrats back there that milked the system, like they paid the judges' salaries $130,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. For these
and
totally
they don't even
corrupted...
abide by their oaths, most
no,
of them. That's what kills me. They're making money off the people. They're getting paid by the people. They're making money off of the people going into the private prison system. And we're supposed to be land of the free and home of the brave, and we have the largest prison population in the world. And one of the things that really gets to me, and I just want to drive this home, first of all, I want to say thank you, Roger, so much, not only for calling in, but for everything you've done over all the years, you know, way back in the day, and I really wish I could have met your mother, because I would have really enjoyed that.
I
really would have.
Roger can stay on for two. I didn't want him to go anywhere. I got a couple more quick questions.
No, we don't want you to go anywhere, Roger. I just wanted to say personally a thank you because, you know, I am an independent investigative journalist, but I took a constitutional journalist oath. A lot of people want to marginalize or, oh, well, you didn't go. For instance, I've talked to attorneys that have told me, well, when did you go to law school? I said, let me explain something to you. I don't have to go to law school to read your statutes, study the Constitution, study the state constitution, study the federal statutes, study the Supreme Court cases and everything else. I know how to read. I'm highly intelligent. I know how to read history, and I don't need to go to your little club per se in order to learn this stuff. So the one thing I'm really thankful for is not only you helping to pull out more things, but you've also confirmed a lot of what we've been saying for a very long time and bringing in some new information as well. And I just want to thank you for that. And it makes me feel really good because we've been right on.
I study history. I'm a history buff, too. And I want to just give – and Thomas Jefferson was one of my favorites. He says, I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I said, and you cannot get any worse tyranny than when you have a corrupt judiciary, when victims come into there and seeking remedy and are arrested and jailed, violently arrested, jailed, thrown in the insane asylum, put me in chains, wrap chains around me, holding me down, people piling on while they're sticking needles in me, trying to shut me up. And thank God I had military training, so I was able to take all of that. But I said, people, this is everyone's responsive to their children, to your posterity, to leave them a clean environment, clean constitutional government, and no debt. A constitutional government, that's what I learned in law school, that you are allow, if you're injured, to make a public record of your injury. So it's a legal fact, and not to be attacked by guards and all of them trying to get into the courtroom and doing what they've been doing. So if your listeners, if they go to Widener Roger on the internet and plug in my name, there's a lot of that is out there now about what thank God for the internet because it's taking all of this around the world. I'm reading right now about Abraham Lincoln. It just 150 years ago, if he wanted to talk to someone in the distance, he would go down to the train station because they had a telegraph, and so he could talk some distance. Now, I said, you can pick up a little handheld and talk to anyone anywhere in the world, ultimately, in your language, and it'll come up in theirs. The Internet has turned the world into a global village, and it's turning the lights. This is what the legal profession has been able to do. They've been able to, by controlling the courtroom, they can control the what is made a matter of public record. But now... With the public aware of all of this and realizing that people, we are the government, the citizens.
And you know, I thank you so much for saying that because you know the quote unquote federal government or the states they want or the propaganda media, if you will, they love to say they're anti-government. We can't be anti-government because we're for the people. We are the people. The people are the government. They're our employees, you know, and that drives me nuts because people don't seem to understand that. So I appreciate you saying that as well. Go ahead, Eric, your other questions.
Anytime you go into that courtroom, it's always on your motion. If they file something against you, you file a motion to dismiss whatever it is that they filed with a supporting affidavit. If you file something, then you move for summary judgment on whatever it is that you have filed with the supporting affidavit. So every time you go into that courtroom, it's always on your motion. Because if it's not, if you let them control it, the judge will say, all I have before me is what the other side has filed, and I'm not going to hear anything else. I've heard the judges say that over and over again.
That's exactly what my question was going to be, exactly on that specific topic that you brought up before. Does the motion to dismiss precede the summary judgment, or is that what you're asking for? Are they one in the same document that you're filing?
Well, if they file something against you, you file a motion to dismiss it. Or if you want, you file a counterclaim and then move for summary judgment on your counterclaim. But whenever you go into that
time,
court,
or at one time, two separate processes.
No, if you can file a motion. If you're filing an action, you file the complaint, and then you move for summary judgment on that complaint with a supporting affidavit that details all of the facts. If they file the complaint, you file a motion to dismiss whatever it is that they have filed. And then when you go to court, you're going in on your motion to dismiss. So anytime that you go into that courtroom, it's always on your motion, never on theirs.
Now,
motion will always be to dismiss whatever it is that you filed, and the court will grant it if you allow the hearing to be on their motion.
Okay, so you want to beat them to the punch, so to speak. Now, when in your knowledge of the federal and state judicial procedure rules, I notice there's two parts usually to a request for a summary judgment for dismissal. It's usually either the court is lacking jurisdiction, and either personal or territorial, whatever, and also failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. Can you comment on any other things that would be good grounds, generally speaking, for reasons for summary judgment for dismissal, or should those things be done at the same time or different most filings?
Okay, listen to me critically. I said all of us are involved with, it's all criminal behavior. It's if you read Title 42 and Title 18 of the United States Code annotated, and you ought to write that down, Title 42 and Title 18, it details all of this activity as criminal activity.
Under RICO.
Yes, but I said, but you have to make it a matter of public record. And that's what people don't know how to do. They turn themselves over to attorneys. And the attorney will talk tough and all of that to get your money. But once he gets your money, and then he'll start dragging it out, because they're all working together. And soon he'll say, well, I can't do any more because you can't pay me. And so he will run you out of money and then run you off the highway, basically. That's what they're doing. And so that's why it's so critical that the group get together, and then you file the document, and then you go down and you have a meeting with the sheriff's office security a day or so before the hearing. And now they're very sensitive to what's going on, and tell them, Sheriff, I'm going to be in court tomorrow putting something on the record. And when they see that crowd coming in and they see me down there, then they do what they're supposed to do. They stand by and they maintain order. That's the purpose of the sheriff, is to maintain order in the courthouse, so that people can litigate their differences. People don't sue each other unless it's very serious matters, and it's to keep people from turning violent against each other. Have civil remedy.
Okay, hold on just one more moment, Roger. We have to hear from our network sponsors. We'll be right back after the break.
If you have sciatica, then you know all about the crippling pain that travels from your lower back down your leg when a spasm occurs. It's brutal. In fact, it's enough to take your breath away. Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream helps relieve persistent, shooting pains associated with the sciatic nerve in the lower back and legs. This natural, homeopathic cream contains the most potent ingredients to soothe even the most excruciating pain associated with sciatica. Stop the pain now. Ask for Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream at your local health food store or go online to TraskNutrition.com.
Would you like relief from muscle pain, headaches, and discomfort to sleep better, have more energy during the day, and just feel naturally amazing? Fibromalic can help. Its blend of malic acid and magnesium can provide pain relief and comfort for those who experience fibromyalgia. It helps your body absorb more oxygen, and it works quickly for a significant reduction in pain within 48 hours, all without a prescription. Ask for Fibromalic at health and vitamin shops or shop Fibromalic.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.